Who turns the lights off at Halloween?
Who?
The lights switch.
Nope. Okay. Veto.
Okay. How did the witch get around when her broomstick broke? She witch hiked.
No. It's our worst. It's getting worse.
How do witches get good bargains?
How?
They haggle. They're called hags.
Yeah, I get it. You know what I love?
What?
When you have to explain the punchline because someone's not laughing.
Mm-hmm. What do you call two witches who live together?
A domestic partnership?
Broommates. What happened to the witch who was naughty at school?
What?
She was expelled.
Nope.
What does a witch ask for when she stays in a hotel?
What?
Broom service. What do you call a witch in the desert and my sex life?
A dry spell.
Ba-dum boom, ba-dum boom. Pew, pew, pew,
pew. Self-burn.
Self-burn. Got him.
Welcome to Obscurity, the podcast about obscure subcultures. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Brenna. And today we're talking about witch talk. So, you don't believe in magic, but I think it's probably fair to say that you have a fascination with the occult. Is that, would you agree? I would like to know why and what you think the difference is.
First of all, they're called illusions, Michael.
First of all.
Magic is something that, no, it's tricks are something a whore does for money. That's what the quote is.
This, are you just going to get all of your material from the office?
It's Arrested Development. Wow.
So anyway, my point stands, though, like that you cannot come up with your own original material.
I mean, what's better than Arrested Development, though? Do I believe in magic?
No, that wasn't the question. We need to hone your listening skills. So I said, you don't believe in magic. That was the first thing I said.
It wasn't a question. It was just you telling me what I think.
No, Jesus Christ. Are you fucking, like, has the lack of appendix just, like, gotten to your brain? I said, you don't believe in magic, but you do have a fascination with the occult. And my question is, put your listening ears on over there. Why? Like, what's the difference between the two of those to you?
I guess I don't understand. Just because I don't believe in something doesn't mean I don't find something interesting.
Jesus Christ. Well,
no, but like,
solved. We can end the episode there.
I guess I'm not understanding like what the dichotomy you're trying to draw is. Like, yes, I do not believe in magic. However, I find it interesting that there are groups of people who are interested in that kind of phenomenon, I guess, and like the supernatural and have cultish devotion to it. Yeah, I mean, I like Lovecraftian horror minus the racism.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm kind of like talking about. Like, you like, you know, games and books and movies centered around the occult, but you just because for you is it suspending reality.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantasy. It's the same reason I like things that have swords and elves and people who have laser swords, right? Like, I find it interesting. It's compelling. It interests me as a fantasy escape from reality subject, but no, I don't believe in it in real life.
Why not?
Because I have a strong grounding in the real.
Are we sure about that?
I don't know. Maybe now that my appendix is gone, I will believe more in the supernatural. Maybe that was what was keeping me grounded in this reality. Where are we going with this?
Well, hang on. First, I'm going to cast a spell to make you less touchy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Less touchy. Be less touchy for the rest of this episode. Can you be less touchy? You're on pain meds and you have a little scar in your tum-tum now.
I have three little scars.
Aw. Well, this is not about you, Jordan. Today, we are talking about witch... Wait. No, I had another Hang on. Hang on.
Is this a quality episode so far?
So far, really, really doing a great job. I want you, so we're recording virtually tonight, so I want you to look at your hand. Do you know what your heart and your lifelines are?
No.
So they're like the two main ones. So like, look at my hand here. This, one of these is your heart line, and one of these is your lifeline. Okay.
Yep.
Now, where they intersect, do you see an X?
Yes. Well, they don't really intersect is the thing, but there's an X. I don't know how to explain this. Can you see mine? Like, they don't actually intersect. However, if you look in between the lines, there is a little X.
I'm sorry to say you don't. The reason you probably don't believe in magic is you don't have the...
I don't have the magic?
You don't have the magic. I've got
the magic.
You don't know you don't have the magic.
Oh, that's not good.
So anyway,
I won't be able to join the a cappella group in college now and sing that song. That's a Pitch Perfect reference. Go ahead, Brenna.
Never seen it.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Just kidding, I have.
That does surprise me.
So today we're talking about witch talk, which is a niche portion of TikTok dedicated to witchcraft and magic, aka witch talk.
I like that. I honestly thought it was going to be like Witch Talk Radio or something.
TALK. That makes a lot of sense.
Which would have been super cool. And I would have been like, what AM channel do I need to turn my radio to? But I'm still on the board with this.
I'm actually going to Google that after. I feel like Witch Talk is a thing. That would be kind of cool.
Like, somebody has like a pirate radio station of just witchcraft radio.
I like
that. That
would
be so cool.
And it would be kind of cool if we have two episodes named... You know,
Witch Talk,
named
just
named slightly different things, but pronounced exactly the same.
We should, every episode really should just be a homonym of another one that we've had.
All right, deal. We'll make that happen going forward. Okay. Would you like me to jump into the topic?
Yeah, let's segue.
Okay, so as I mentioned, you know, niche portion of TikTok focusing on witchcraft and magic, and you know, it's really a broad spectrum of stuff. So it can range from what you might expect, like the most obvious is like casting spells and spell tutorials, to live streams of tarot reading, to educational videos on like healing crystals and candles and plants and whatnot. So it's really covers this whole breadth of different things, and it really like exploded in popularity. And as of November 2021, do you want to guess how many views the hashtag witch talk hashtag had?
The hashtag witch talk hashtag had.
I guess witch talk hashtag. Hashtag witch
talk. No, I like the way you said it the first time. Here's the thing. I don't know much about TikTok. Like, I know we did an episode on sea shanties, and I got there was a lot of like TikTok related content on that, but I've never actually been on TikTok. So like, I have no perception of how many people use it other than it's a big thing. So I'm going to throw a random number out and say like, 10 million. My high or low here?
You're pretty low because it had 20.7 billion. Well, billion with a B.
Views.
Views. Yeah. Think about it like the hashtag.
Yeah, someone's watching it over and over again. Yeah.
Well, or it could be like multiple videos and one person watches 100 videos.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's how math works.
I guess I was thinking it was like as a single video. Yes, I'm on board now. I understand how technology works.
Stay sharp, Jordan. Stay sharp. And by comparison, since, you know, you don't have a good reference of TikTok, the Kardashian hashtag only has 6.4 billion views. Again,
that's a good comparison, too.
Right?
Because
it's a pretty... I mean, they're pretty
popular.
What
about the Jenner hashtag?
I'm going to say it also outpaces the Jenner hashtag. I'm just going to go out on a limb there.
What about the Yee hashtag?
Back on track here. So it, as I mentioned, you know, it's really exploded in popularity and in particular during the COVID-19 pandemic, which I feel like is kind of a theme. A lot of the stuff we've talked about has kind of, you know, peaked in popularity because what else are people doing aside from getting into weird shit?
This podcast has quickly become not like just random obscure subcultures, and now it's just random things people got up to during COVID-19.
You're right.
Like podcasts.
Like podcasts. Yeah. So, you know, interest has been on the rise since well before COVID. And one of the facts when the articles mentioned was, you know, there's been a marked increase in Google searches for crystal hearing, crystal healing, not crystal hearing, over the past like 5 to 6 years. And what I also found interesting, you know, this concept of witchcraft running side by side with pandemics is not a new kind of concept either. The mass like hysteria around witchcraft that happened in the 17th century in the U.S. Followed a local outbreak of rye ergot. It's a hallucinogenic fungus which makes people appear like bewitched. So in that followed, or that prefaced, I should say, the Salem witch trials. So not the first time this kind of investment and interest in magic has come alongside a pandemic.
That's interesting. And also makes me question now, like, if there's historical precedent to like exorcisms. Like, you know what I mean?
Exorcisms, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. But like, do you think, like, now I'm wondering, like, is there a historical basis to any of that kind of thing? Like, if there were people who were intoxicated or crazy because of some shit going on, and that's what led to people like believing there was something more mystical happening.
It's an interesting hypothesis. I was not prepared for that question, but I'd be happy to take it away and bring it back to you another time.
I'll get back to you after the meeting.
I'll come back to you after the meeting. I'll circle back with you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Can't wait for that email I'm not going to get.
No, you will definitely get it, Jordan. Have I ever let you down? Concerns me that you're not replying.
Dead air. Crickets. Where is the cricket soundboard again?
So, you know, younger generations are taking a renewed interest in astrology, horoscopes, and the occult. And this is also accompanying a rise in people identifying as witches. And, you know, the reason being is people are looking for answers in a crazy world. So I will quote an article. It said, you know, if you look at the current culture scape, human beings, especially our younger generations, are experiencing massive upheaval and uncertainty. What better way to take back control than to align yourself with a movement that is about harnessing your inner power, controlling your own reality, connecting to the higher senses of nature? That's witch talk in a nutshell.
So that makes sense. I'm trying to be not my normal
cynical self.
Doubting Thomas here.
I'm not like used to this.
Well, there's actually more. I have two reasons for it. One is I'm genuinely trying, which I know is a first. But but also, can I just say as a side note, I hate the fact that they said culture scape, because that's stop. remove that word. But secondly, I actually am a subscriber to the Witches vs. Patriarchy subreddit.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good
one. It is a good one. And it's not obviously because I believe in healing crystals or shamans or whatever else, right? But it's just because I like the community of women who are supporting each other against patriarchal norms, institutions, oppression, whatever it is, right? So, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, yes, I don't believe in any of that stuff, but
obviously,
I see the value of the community and how it reinforces and provides I don't even know if support network's the right word, but, like, just, you know, something that people can be a part of, I guess.
So that actually is, like, a perfect transition into one of my bullets, almost as if you knew I was going to say this. But community is actually a word that comes up frequently when discussing witch talk. And, you know, that hashtag, like I mentioned, it's not just a straightforward thing about casting spells or tarot readings or crystal discussions, though they do play a part, obviously.
Sure.
But the big thing people mentioned is it's really about creating a welcoming space online for those who otherwise feel alone in their lifestyle. And a girl named Rue, who is 18 and goes by Rue the Day, and she has 71,000 followers.
Nice.
A lot more than we have on Instagram, let me tell you.
But also, love a good pun in the name. That's fantastic.
I know, Rue the Day.
Yeah.
So she said, you know, she said the fact that there were other people out there living this life, and I could see them on social media, and they were not hiding. It was kind of like coming into the LGBTQ community. I thought, wow, there are people just like me, and they aren't scared to be who they are.
Yeah.
So that's all just to kind of say, like, yes, community is a big part of it. And I do want to go back to that quote I was mentioning just about the younger generations experiencing all this massive upheaval. I know we've talked about it a little bit before, especially, I think, what, the antinatalist episode, that life and the world is getting, you know, better year over year. Mm-hmm. But I think that could be argued, especially after everything going on in Ukraine. Obviously, like, living through a pandemic. We're all living through it, right? But those are going to be really defining moments of the younger generation. And I also think, this is my own theory, that as we become more progressive as a society, you know, part of being progressive is the education and educating people about, you know, bad things that have happened, racism, discrimination, sexism. I think the younger generation is more aware of these things, even if they're not experiencing it as much in their day to day necessarily. So I think, like, I kind of posit that for the younger generation, they feel a lot more overwhelmed because, like, they're kind of inundated with the bad and, like, climate change, everything.
Yeah, so as you're probably unsurprised to hear, I don't know that I fully agree.
I am surprised to hear because I think I'm correct on this one.
Right. You, well, yeah, and on everything, I'm sure.
Yes.
So I think, I guess, like, where I separate from you is I think every generation, every time period has this tendency to assume that, like, every malice and, like, instance of trouble in their life is unique and has never been experienced and is somehow worse than everything that preceded it, right? And I'm sure it's true sometimes, but, like, I guess I'm unconvinced that you can compare apples to apples across things, right? Like I do think we have a... I guess I'm not trying to minimize the reality of millennials or Gen Zers or whoever else and the shit that's going on right now, right? Like, it's awful for a lot of people. But, you know, it was awful for a lot of people in the baby boomer generation too, right? Like, we have this fantasy of, like, oh, the boomers had everything for them. Well, sure, if you were white and if you were okay, even for the white people, if you were okay with, you know, nuclear apocalypse drills where you were supposed to figure out how to duck under your desk if a nuke was going off and that existential threat constantly available to you, right? Like, not to mention all the other social upheavals and violence and proxy wars happening around the world. No, you know, very similar to what's happening today, right? Like, so I have, like, I think we have a tendency to, like, minimize the past and compress it and focus on a couple events and not the day to day. While when compared to ourselves, we kind of see the whole spectrum of things happening. So that's not to say, again, that, like, I think there isn't, like, that the point itself is invalid, that, like, there is so much happening that people need some sort of way of connecting with others and to find support and figure out how to wade through the very confusing and often shittiness of the world. Like, I get that. I just don't know that it's necessarily comparable or that there's a way to compare. So that's, like, where I disagree. But on the whole, I think I am aligned to the idea that, like, trying to find your way through the world can be challenging. And when you have a community of people who can support you in that and align to your values and belief systems, that's a good way to find that and to, like, ground yourself.
I mean, I guess I don't see that as... Yeah, no, it makes 100% sense, and I agree. Like, I don't think it's very different than what I was saying.
I think it's extremely different and obviously more correct.
Obviously. I mean, I don't think, like, let me clarify, I don't think, you know, the younger generations are living through a worse time by, you know, because I agree with
everything. But it feels like, it feels like the world is... And I'm not saying you're saying this, but I think for a lot of people today, they feel like things are getting worse, right? Like, even if you, like, I think you were
saying
earlier.
And I think
earlier,
it's like the, I think it kind of goes along with the advent of the internet age. Like,
yes,
information 100%. Is just, like, so out there. So, yeah, you're right. There were proxy wars. There was plenty of awful shit in the world. And I'm not saying, like, there wasn't news. There wasn't, like, plenty of sources of information. But it's just not as prevalent and always fucking available as it is today. And I think that's what's kind of triggering this, you know, generational, emotional, kind of theological crisis, if you will.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree with that because this gets me to my, like, my normal rant about social media, because social media...
Here we go.
But, you know, like, that, I mean, the reality is social media is primed to take these events and to inundate you with them until they are, you know, you are obsessed with them, whether or not you want to be, right? Like, it... Whereas before, I think the big difference now and the past is that in the past, you had four news stations, right? Yes. In the past being like a couple decades ago, but like the past you had four news stations, and once the like evening news was off, that was it. You had your day to day life again, right?
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, it's not like you didn't have realities. If when gas prices were surging during the Carter administration, right? Like that was real life for people. People were lined up for hours to get to a quarter of a tank of gas, right? Like I'm not saying that like people didn't experience things full time, but the way it was, the world was mirrored back to you was not literally in an always on device in your pocket that every time you lit up, there was a new little buzz or notification saying, by the way, here's literally the new terrible thing happening. Yeah.
You could exactly. turn off, you could compartmentalize so much more easily yeah. than it is than you can today.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of coming back, you know, I think we're on the same page. You like to think we're disagreeing.
But I'm more
time.
Right.
No, I don't think anyone would ever would say that, really, ever.
You usually do. You call me a right-wing blowhard.
<That's true. laughs> I do think you're a right-wing blowhard.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, we've talked about this before as well, but, it, you know, the rise in popularity of witch talk and witchcraft, it also correlates to a downward trend in religious affiliation in young people. But it kind of suggests that there's still, like, an appetite there for community, spirituality, like some type of like wellness, you know, togetherness. And I think, you know, people still very much desire that. It just might not come in the shape or form of traditional religion.
Well, traditional Abrahamic religion, right? Like I would argue very that fair. Paganism is religion. It's just, it's not how we theologically think about it today. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
So anyway, you know, witchcraft has always been popular in certain communities. Like, it's certainly not a new phenomenon. But again, you know, talking about the advent of the internet age, TikTok has definitely given it new visibility to a much broader audience. And it's definitely piqued people's curiosity. So kind of going back to what I was saying, like, you don't believe in magic, but you're fascinated with the occult. I think a lot of people watch this. They might not believe in it necessarily, but they find this, like, interesting or calming or, you know, therapeutic in a way. So it's definitely exploded in popularity, I think, because there's kind of a want and an interest there.
It's an identity, right? Like, and that's what I've noticed with the, again, I'm a casual observer, but of the witches versus patriarchy subreddit, like,
mm-hmm.
there are definitely the people there with the healing crystals and everything else, right? And I gather these six things and my familiar is helping me cast a spell to make me smell, whatever it is. Like, there are definitely those people, but it seems like a lot of the people who participate in that subreddit, at least, are people who identify as a witch in the sense of, like, what it means for that group from a value standpoint, right? Not from, like,
right.
a supernatural standpoint, but from who you are as an, like, as a person in this world and what that means for you as someone who, you know, wants to dismantle the patriarchy or whatever it is, right? Like, so I that does totally track in the sense of, like, you can be part, I think we've talked about this too with, I think, some other religious crap that we've always talked about in these episodes, but, like, I'm pretty sure we've talked about, like, people who will participate in religion without actually being religious or believing in God. It was yeah. like, it's kind of the same type of thing, right? Like,
for that community.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, 100%. So I'll move in here to discuss a couple different witches and witch talkers, if you will. So Chelsea Selby, she's a practicing witch and a founder of an occult beauty brand called Witch Baby Soap. She has over 250,000 TikTok followers.
Wow. I mean, that's a good business. Is this like Glassy Baby?
Nope. I don't think, because Glassy Baby is candle holders and this is soap. So no, they know. Just both have baby in the name. So almost. That's good. Yeah. It's good context. Sure.
The word matronizing happening right now. I appreciate it.
Did you call me matronizing?
Yeah, it's matronizing. I believe is the correct
term. No,
it's correct
patronizing. Dick.
No, I think I'm right.
Obviously you do. So she partakes in, you know, spell work and rituals, and she claims to develop intuition through meditation, divination, and the observation of moon cycles and pagan festivals. And she said the appeal of being a witch comes from, you know, what we talked about, the inclusivity, accessibility, and openness to interpretation. And she went on to say, you know, it's, quote, a completely customizable practice, and whatever your spirituality, it helps deepen that connection and make it stronger. So, basically. Sorry,
I like that, though, that the completely customizable practice. Like, I like the idea that it's like a build your own meal type of thing. Like, I want this aspect and this aspect. And I mean, I'm saying that kind of tongue in cheek, but I actually genuinely like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is funny to phrase it that way, right? Like,
totally. But I think, like, you know, I started at the beginning by saying it covers like a broad spectrum of different things. It could be spells, rituals, candles, crystals, whatever. I think, you know, my outside perspective is that all of this stuff, you know, she talks about meditation, it's just a way to center yourself and become more self-aware, right? So it goes back a little bit to what we were talking about with, you know, prior generations. You could just turn off the news. You could just compartmentalize. It's so much harder in today's day and age. So I think, you know, going to the meditation piece of it, divination, just being more in touch with yourself. And I think setting aside that intentional time to do something other than be on social media, although ironically, it's then posted to social media.
Right. But I think the idea of like, that is the interesting part about that. Yeah.
But I think, yeah, it goes back to being the community and like that self-awareness and that self-control and the calmness and that meditation.
Do you consider yourself a witch?
No. I was thinking of a pun and it didn't come to me quick enough.
No, but I just mean like, do you find, I don't know, do you find like any sort of like value to the identity of that? I'm not saying do you believe in healing crystals and all that, because I know you do. I mean specifically like what you've read about that group or TikTok videos that you watched or whatever else, like, did you feel any simpatico with them?
Yes and no. Like, I agree. Like, I get the appeal and I get why people do it. And I did watch some of the videos and some were like very like calming and I could just see myself like watching them. Some were, you know, the more believing in spells kind of thing where it's just like, eh. But for me, what I could relate to is what I get through like yoga or hiking, I guess. It's when I can kind of disconnect.
Yeah.
Be in tune with my body. That's what it reminds me of. And I think I always say this, but like really the only time, not the only time, but maybe the most frequent time that I wonder about the cosmos, I wonder about a god, or I feel like authentically spiritual is usually like I'm on the top of a mountain looking at, you know, surrounding mountains or some beautiful landscape when it's just me in nature. And I know that's very cliche, but I mean, there is something to it, but I am a white woman. So what would you expect?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. You know, I was just thinking too, from like the irony of the social media aspect to this, is that my watch every night likes to buzz me to tell me to reminds me to be mindful and like has like a little like start your like meditation moment or something. Clearly I've never do it. I just swipe it away, but like, you know, buzzes your wrist to tell you to like, hey, by the way, right now you need to be mindful.
Meditate.
Do 30 seconds of meditation or something. And it's that irony of like, be mindful, but I'm going to do it to you by electronically buzzing you from an internet message, right? From Apple's headquarters. So like it's just, it's so, I don't even know what the word for it is, but it's so, I can't figure out the word, but it's just this, it's not dystopian, but like, it's just strange how like there's this.
No, dystopian is the right word.
For you. Yeah. But I mean like it's this corporate intrusion on what theoretically is like this inner peace practice, right? Like it's very strange.
And did you ever watch the documentary that was released on Netflix during the pandemic by
Tiger King?
No, it was the one, I'm going to blank on the name here, but they interviewed like several founders of like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Oh, the one that like talked about the dangers of social media.
Yeah, pretty much. But basically, you know, what all these executives basically admit is, of course, like, you know, there was all this backlash because of the addiction to social media and the negative repercussions of that on people's mental health and even physical health. And so, you know, like your phone can go on dark mode. You can turn off alerts or whatever. However, it's still, they acknowledge, it's still literally very much designed to keep you coming back to the app and to keep you on it. So even with, yeah, it's exactly, it's ironic, it's something, and I think it's disingenuous, perhaps.
Yeah, disingenuous is good. Is a good one. I mean, I will say, in all fairness, that, and I know you're going to have a hard time being fair to the corporate entities that you love so much, but there are different groups of people doing different things for those companies, right? Like, the people driving the decisions to have notifications for everything and flood you to make sure that you're always paying attention to your phone and not being mindful or whatever, right, are different than maybe the subgroup of people whose task it is to try to give people a little break from their phone and design a way to like turn off notifications. But the problem is those people have no influence, right? They're not going to win the battle internally.
And like, I mean, it goes back to like whatever, like even the people like making the app, like the people, unless you're the executive making that decision, like if this needs to be like our strategic go forward way to capture the market and keep people hooked in our product, like, I mean, whatever, we all work for bullshit corporate 100 companies, right? Like, I mean, you can argue, people have to put food on the table. So like, I don't fault people for working at companies, but I, you know, that might have negative impacts on society in most cases, but
Give me your anti-work screed. I want to hear it.
Fuck corporations. Fuck capitalism. And fuck you in particular, Jordan.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other thing I'll call out about Chelsea is she also shares a more accessible side of herself, like just her life as a mother, so people can see her normal life as well. So it's not just, you know, her witchcraft stuff. It's just normal day-to-day life. And that kind of reminded me...
Normalizing witchcraft.
Well, yeah, I guess. I was going to say it reminds me of Mormon mommy bloggers.
Oh, okay, sure.
I was just, you know, here's a day in my life, right? Like, it's not all, you know, religion. It's not all what you might think of me. Here's just my life. And it's more like, like you said, I guess, kind of trying to normalize it, but put a face to the name, I guess, or the movement, yeah, if you will.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, you, I think the when people think of modern day witches, you have a very specific image of it. You're like, either you're thinking of Hocus Pocus, the movie, or something, right? Or you're thinking of, you know, some stereotype of somebody with specifically dyed hair, in somewhere in nature with acorns or something and some crystals.
Is that what we're thinking?
I think it's fair to assume, like, people who think about, like, someone who considers themselves a witch in modern days is someone who's, yeah, playing with crystals in nature or something, right? Like, I think there is, like, a stereotype for that, to be able to normalize and show, I'm still a normal person. Like, I think that helps to make it more attractive to someone who might be like, I don't want to necessarily change everything about my lifestyle to fit into this idea of that I think I support.
I am still a little put off by the fact that you're so on board with this and you're not your normal critical self.
Everything changed when I lost my appendix, Rena. I nearly died.
I know. It was a pretty, like, pivotal life moment for you.
I didn't actually nearly die. It's a thing. I did a lot of other things the day I knew I needed an appendectomy. I was like, yeah, I'll get to the hospital. I've got some other stuff to do first.
Do you want to talk more about your appendectomy, Jordan?
I do. I think we should make episodes just about me from now on.
Yeah. I try to deviate from that as much as possible.
And I don't understand why. Like, give the people what they want.
The next witch I want to talk about, her name is Pythian Priestess, aka Ashley Ryan. She's 28 years old.
Pythian?
Pythian.
Like to be pithy?
P-Y-T-H-I-N-I-A-N. Oh, Pythian.
That's not the same thing at all. No. I like the idea of someone who's a pithy priestess.
You're not pithy.
Well, that's rude.
So she grew up strict Roman Catholic, and she turned to witchcraft at 14 when failing to connect with her religion. She taught herself about clairvoyance, auras, tarot, and eventually she went on to get a degree in both philosophy and theology. And now on her TikTok channel, she's known for her anti-anxiety spells and DIY Mercury retrograde candles. And of the movement's popularity, she notes, quote, "We're seeing the decline of the traditional spiritual structure based on authority and the rise in the self-made community without a leader. Witch talk is changing the way young people view spiritualism, witchcraft, and the occult. It is demystifying it, pulling the veil back on what's considered evil or satanic. It's an honest revamping of spirituality from the masses.
It's interesting that she says it's demystifying something that is quite literally mysticism. Oh my God. But, you know, I think there's a kernel of truth there too, that I would, like, I don't know that I agree that witch talk is necessarily the thing that is leading the charge in this, but I think there is I agree with the general point that, like, there is a movement away from authoritarian theocracy. I think we see in, certainly in the United States, probably in most of the Western world, I would guess, at least, we know that less and less people are identifying as religious, right?
Yes, I already said that. Thank you.
But like, what I'm trying to say is, I think you also see, especially for young people, more the people who do identify as religious, there tends to, like, you see more people joining, like, youth group, like, for Christians, for example, like, right. Like, Christian youth groups, where the minister or the, you know, the person in charge, the pastor, spiritual leader, whatever, is someone who shows up in jeans and a leather jacket, is playing a guitar, is very, like, of the people, doesn't consider themselves, like, in some sort of hierarchical elevated status compared to the parishioners, right? Like, when you compare that to the strict Roman Catholic Church, when you compare that to even just a lot of, like, evangelical churches where it's, I am the one who speaks to God and I'm telling you, right, all of these things on high. Like, I think there is a movement away from that kind of approach to religion and more towards commonality and, I guess away from authoritarianism and more towards whatever, however you would call that. But so I think it does make sense that this would also reflect that trend. Again, I don't know that witch talk would be leading it, but I certainly think that they're certainly, jumping onto that kind of trend and it making use of it. And that makes a lot of sense.
Fun fact for you. Are you familiar with Lana Del Rey?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I know who Lana Del Rey is.
Okay. I was like, fuck, well, what am I, how do I manage this one? So she is actually a practicing witch, and she tried to place a mass hex on Trump when he was elected president.
How about no?
Poorly, because it was meant to keep him from mucking things up with his words and his tweets and deliver the U.S. safely from any harm he's capable of. So,
I mean, he did leave office. I guess she could take credit for that at some level.
There we go.
And Twitter and Facebook banned him, so.
That is true. That was also very satisfying. So, you know what? Maybe there is something to this.
Maybe her hex should have had, like, a time specification instead of wait 4 years.
Ugh. Yeah. All right, that's enough about Trump.
Thanks,
Lana Del Rey. And I also thought this was interesting. One of the articles kind of reminded me that TikTok began as a lip syncing app. Jesus, I am not having a stroke. Oh my God, I can't say anything. TikTok began as a lip syncing app. So I don't know if you recall this, but it would be like, you know, a 15-second clip of a song, and you sing along to it or you dance to it, and that was what TikTok started as.
As in, like, that's how people were using it, or, like, that's literally what all the app could do?
I think both. Like, if I recall correctly, like, when it first came out, you could only play a song, and then you would either dance or lip sync to it.
This is, like, the most, oh my God, we have become, what? Like, our parents' generation.
Nope.
Like, we're talking about these things, and there's some fucking 20-year-old who's like, these people are fucking idiots. How do they not know what TikTok?
TikTok works. What are you talking about?
I think when Facebook first came out, it was really just so that you could talk to your professors.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And another thing that I thought was interesting about TikTok, the algorithm, is the For You page, or the hashtag FYP page. It's the first feed when you see when you open the app, and it comprises a collection of recommended videos personalized to you. And so unlike Facebook or Instagram, which are really like this echo chamber of, you know, things you've already seen and obviously things they know you're interested in, TikTok's For You page works as a way to introduce you to new content creators that embrace new ways of thinking. So it doesn't make you live in a bubble, at least to the extent that like other apps do. So she's, you know, one of the women said, she, even though I'm a witch, I'm not showing on, you know, only on other witches' feeds. You know, you show up to people you wouldn't normally through another app. So, you know, she goes on to say, it's nice to be on a platform that supports creators and it doesn't just look at us like advertising opportunities. And you are smirking. So
I have so many issues with all of that, but
go ahead.
Give
me one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I got two. One is, yeah, you're on a platform that it emphasizes the Chinese government collecting data on you. Right? Yes. So, great. Yeah, you really avoided those advertisers. You've done so well. And second of all, what? Because every single, the whole point of Facebook and Instagram is that, and YouTube and all those other shit, like the reason people are pissed is because their algorithms are specifically designed to funnel people into the more extremist positions, because that generates interest and clicks and likes and revenue. Like, that's the whole problem, that people Google something very innocuous like COVID vaccine and the algorithms are designed to find the most exploitative and controversial topics, and in 10 days of clicking through those articles, all of a sudden now you're reading things from Joe Rogan and his ilk of idiots who don't know anything about vaccines, and now you're an anti-vaxxer yourself, right? Like, it's designed to push you that direction. So I'm not sure that TikTok also introducing you to other content creators is necessarily a big difference, even if it's working for the benefit of this community specifically.
Well, as a Joe Rogan fan myself,
sure.
And someone who is anti-vax.
I do remember you were a Joe Rogan fan.
No, gross.
That lasted about 12 seconds. Like, as long as you could keep that up.
I couldn't. I was like, fuck that guy. But there is some controversy. So like many of our subcultures, witch talk is not without controversy. So, you know, the younger creators have risen in popularity, and so have their brand of witch talk videos, which are like tongue-in-cheek jokes, singing popular songs, kind of making skits. And it's helped skyrocket their follower counts, but it has caused a little bit of an uproar with people called quote-unquote elder witches, the people who consider themselves like lifelong studiers of the craft. So a lot of the older witches are stuck in a certain way where they do things that they think is respectful and right, not unlike other kind of spiritual or religious traditions, and it clashes with the newer generation. But that just seems to be a microcosm of life and culture at large.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a witch problem. That sounds like a young and old people problem.
That is true. So I would like to close it out with a quote from one of the witches. And, you know, she said, I would like to encourage people to explore witchcraft with an open mind, which you've done today, Jordan. Good job. I would encourage them to shed what modern media, especially movies and TV, have told you what witches are, and instead try to understand what we are as a modern movement. We're not old hags on brooms. We're everyday people who live a lifestyle that is just like being vegan or being Christian. It's definitely kind of making it less scary because before TikTok, it was like broomsticks and pointy hats and Harry Potter and the craft, and that's it. But now you're seeing a lot of really normal people lighting candles and pulling cards.
You know, that's a good point, though. I didn't think about that, but I probably should have. That, like, Harry Potter probably did a big beneficial bonus for that community. Like,
oh, for sure.
You know, like, yeah, just generally, there was a reason why every fundamentalist Christian was trying to, and continues to try to get those books burned, right? Like, it does normalize that, the idea of witchcraft and wizardry and all of that. And so, like, it probably did help especially for a generation that grew up with those books as more popular than the Bible. Like, these people aren't as strange and crazy. They're just like Harry Potter, right? Like, that probably did do an enormous help, I would imagine.
Probably. So, by the way, so I just want to kind of recap what we've spoken about. We talked ad nauseum about witchcraft, how I'm right and you're wrong, the issues between our generations, and I had one takeaway to look something up, which I will do, and I will get it back to you.
This is the notes, the meeting notes. Thanks.
Yes, the meeting notes. Yes.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
Thanks for hopping on. I'll let you go 5 minutes early today and get back to your other stuff.
No, stop.
Stop it. And that's Witch Talk. Do you have an obscure subculture we should know about or just want to ask us a question? You can find us on Instagram at Subscurity Podcast. Our Twitter handle is at Subscurity Pod, and our website is subscurity.com. You can also email us directly at subscurity@gmail.com. But if you're a witch, you probably already knew that. Our intro and outro music is the instrumental of We're Better Together by Go Mordecai. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.